thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here with my boy Ray Jeezy. What's good, Ray?
What's happening, bro?
Nothing much, man. We're still waiting on the homie Will T.
Yes, sir. Look. Looking at this storm that's brewing outside. Last time you and I were together, it was a storm.
Yes, it was. And right when we were filming, right? It's raining.
I know. That was great, though. Very impromptu.
It was, man. We went to what Ray is referring to. We went to the Washington Redskins training camp. It was day 10. It was a good experience, wouldn't you say?
Why would you say that? Doug Williams spoke to me. why would you say it was a good experience? Just curious.
Because it was hilarious. It was raining. Doug Williams did speak to you. He said that you were like, I wish it would rain. He's like, why would you want it to rain?
And then right after that, it did start raining.
Sure did. But
it was a fun experience. It was the hottest practice of the year. Today probably was the second hottest practice of the year for them down in Richmond. But the players seemed to be motivated this season. You see a different type of energy out there with this Washington squad this season. So, always fun.
It always fun. But Will T would say, let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Yes, I did the voice. here are our topics. We'll talk about our day at the Redskins training camp, which happened yesterday at 8:20. We'll take a look at the Skins preseason game against the New England Patriots, which is on Thursday. At 8:30, we'll discuss Terrell Owens not going to the Hall of Fame.
Attending the ceremony.
At 8:40,
we'll discuss the shop argument again, man.
We'll discuss if the Nets made the wrong choice by letting Dusty Baker go. At 8:50, we'll discuss light heavyweight Sergio Kovalev getting TKO'd by Elider Alvarez. Did you see the fight?
What? Sorry?
You didn't see the Kovalev fight?
Oh, yeah, I did. I did. It was Atlantic City. Yeah, I just came from Atlantic City, remember?
Yeah, you did.
My bad. I'm looking at something on Facebook. Yo, one of my friends, I ain't gonna say my man's. Well, he is my man's, but one of my friends, I'm trying to stay politically correct, stay away from the slang. On Facebook, he said the Redskins ticket prices are low as ever this season because they suck so bad. Is that true?
I think I heard something about that. I know they're doing a lot of stuff.
I don't think, but it's just very interesting that he said that. It was in response to, you know, what we posted from yesterday.
What did we post yesterday?
We posted that we were at training camp, and he said, yeah, they're so bad that ticket prices are
jerk.
He's a supporter of the show, and he's a Cowboys fan. So.
See, that's why he's a Cowboys fan?
Oh, yes, sir.
He's a supporter of the show?
Oh, absolutely.
He's a cool jerk, then.
He actually was part of That's Real Talk.
Oh, okay.
A while back.
Okay, I remember. Only people
check that show out too, by the way.
Yeah, always. Check it out. Oscar's everything. Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and
93.9. You crazy.
All right. Yesterday, like we mentioned, yesterday Ray and I attended Redskins training camp. So Ray, what was your thoughts of training camp of day 10?
Prior to you and I going on the air, we kind of talked about the coach-quarterback relationship. And just from our observation, Coach Gruden seemed more confident in his guy, his quarterback. Because in years past, and I saw this with Zorn too, Coach Gruden would often talk to his quarterback between plays. And he would constantly be in the quarterback's ear, really, you know, paying close attention to what the quarterback was doing out there, the reads he was making. But in this case, it seems like he trusts Alex Smith. Now, he says all the right things in press conferences. But, again, just based on what I saw, I felt like he is comfortable with saying, I got a guy that knows what he's doing this year. I don't have to worry so much. And a guy that's going to take chances. Because as we, you know, again, discussed before the show started, Alex Smith in Kansas City last year, he went down the field. He took chances.
Yeah.
He had a decent receiving core, not the best.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a decent receiving core here in Washington. And he went downfield. He took chances. He threw into double teams, went over the middle. His tight end relationship was great. And you said Jordan Reed looked great. That's one of your takeaways.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be an important relationship. I overall took that from training camp that it starts with the quarterback who's the face of the franchise.
Yeah.
And when your head coach is happy with the quarterback, that's a good start.
Was it you? Did you feel a different energy? You've been to training camp before, a different amount of energy, like excitement with this team.
I think I referenced that too, kind of in the intro. Yeah, mm-hmm. it was an optimism
mm-hmm.
flowing from the team. You know, we did a couple interviews.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say Rob Kelly definitely, he oozed optimism for this season, even though he was still politically correct. Like, I just want to win, you know. But Swearinger, you know, he put it all out there, even the personal goals. He wants to score three times. When do you ever hear a defense back say, I want to score three times this year? He put a number on it.
Speaking of Rob Kelly, Ray got to chat with Rob Kelly. Listen to the clip.
Now, I previously messed your name up because you look so different. Yeah. You're not Fat Rob no more. How has your physical condition changed, affected you on the field?
I think it helped me out. I think holding all the weight didn't do nothing to benefit my game at all. And I think now that I got the weight now, I feel a little faster. I can do different things, bring different abilities to my game. Like, I think last year I was just considered more of a first and second down back, power back, putting for the short yards, knocking. I'm out here running choice routes and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Putting in different positions, showing that I can do different things. So I think it helped me out a lot.
So.
You okay. And you talk about also the grab you caught from Alex Smith, yeah. Up the middle, right hand.
The choice route. Yeah, the choice route. Some they kind of gave me opportunity to run more of those this camp, and I think it's just a choice route arc release. I get on the linebacker toes, whatever. I think Zach did a good job. I got him offset, but he recovered real well. I think it was a perfect throw by Addis to put the ball low in the weight for only me to catch it, nobody catching. I think I just extended out, man, and grabbed it. I mean, it was a pretty good ball, though. I can't take credit for that one.
So what's your expectation heading in this first preseason game?
The expectation is just to get better and win. I don't care if it's a preseason game, postseason, we're going to win. You know what I mean? We can correct all the mistakes later, but just to win, go out there and put on the show.
Last question. It's been rumblings that this is one of the better groups that this organization has had in the past 5 years. How do you assess this team? And, again, what are your expectations? I know the win, but what's the goals?
I think that everybody stay healthy. I feel like last year we also had a great team, but it was, you know what I mean, the season was kind of cut off a lot of people due to injuries. I think we have the depth now, whereas one guy go down, we have somebody step right up and do the same thing the person the spot one was doing. So I think we're in a good position to make things happen.
Again, that is Redskins running back Robert Kelly. Obviously, a lot of talk about Geis being the starter, but he did like being the starter. Right now, actually, Geis isn't even a starter on the depth chart. Rob Kelly is, but Rob Kelly did look good in camp. I mean, from what I saw. Fat Rob.
I love that saying. He looked good in camp. Everybody on the way there, Glenn was saying everybody looked good. This person looked good. He looked good. Anyway, two things I took.
Who's
from
Glenn?
That.
No, you're saying Glenn. Who's
Glenn? Glenn, that's the
for Fox
station
Fox
director.
Yeah, the station director.
Shout out to Glenn. Good brother. Two things I took from that. One, I disagree with. Is it that important to win a preseason game? I feel like if you go out and perform great as a first unit, mm-hmm. that's the most important thing. He's the starter, right? Going into the first preseason game, Rob Kelly
on the depth chart. On the depth chart.
Right. So let's say the Redskins start the game. Alex Smith, Rob Kelly, Dotson, Jordan Reed, the entire starting unit is out there. Trent Williams, yeah, the list goes on.
I don't expect Jordan Reed to play, but go ahead.
But what if?
I know what you mean.
They march downfield, Rob Kelly punches in a 5-yard touchdown, and then they're out the rest of the game, and they lose 31-7.
Yeah.
Does that matter? No, it doesn't matter. Doesn't. Even though afterwards they may say, oh, we didn't get the win. But if you went out there as a first unit and against their first unit and you play well, I think that's excellent. The second thing that I like that he pointed out, though, is the goal is to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like that was a perfect answer because they were injured last year, and we don't take that into account. And even when you and I got the chance to interview Josh Norman a little bit off camera, he referenced like, man, I'm hurting, but I'm out there.
Yeah.
And he didn't miss games due to injury when he could have. We criticized him. We just talked about it, how he didn't play well last season. A lot of people said that, but – he was injured often, and he played through it, and I got to respect that.
Yeah, I mean, about Rob Kelly, again, he referenced being able to getting the opportunity to catch the football out the backfield, being utilized that way. I saw a nice little choice route he ran and caught a perfect pass by Alex Smith. So that was something you didn't see. It's something you didn't see last season. That Rob Kelly.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, catching out the backfield like that, especially on a route, maybe a screen pass, not on a route.
So you went to
training camp?
Training camp?
That's what we just talked about this, right? Did you look at the outline?
I mean, did you introduce our special guest today? For today?
Who's our special guest?
Ray.
How am I a special guest? How am I special guest?
What is going on, man? What's going on, Will T? Will T, he's in the building right now. What's going on, Will T?
Nothing much, man.
I'm a special guest. This man didn't even know we went. It's people that don't even that we don't even know personally that know that we went to Redskins training camp yesterday.
And we talked about this last show.
You did.
Back on topic, though. Didn't Chris Thompson look lean?
Yeah, he did.
I mean, he's a bulky dude, mm-hmm. and he's always been somebody who is explosive when he catches, you know, the ball, like on the choice routes.
Yeah, like on the choice routes.
Seriously, good one. But for real,
that's a good one.
He looked lean. I'm excited about him being back this season, and the fact that his year was cut short, that hurt Kirk Cousins as well. Even though that's not the quarterback, we won't even mention him no
exactly,
more. We're moving
man.
Forward.
That's what I was about to say, Alex man. Why Smith y'all mentioning him, man? Why are you mentioning that?
I did. Man, I mentioned
do it all the time.
Dude, I mean, you gonna hear it more.
I know.
It was Robert Griffin jerseys on, Redskin jerseys on at camp yesterday. And there was some Dak Prescott jerseys. I mean,
that's a Cowboy fan. They were Cowboys.
If you're a rival fan, why do you show up? It's just because you live in the area? You just really love football that much?
Yeah, I mean, they might love football just that much. And, you know, they might want to pull a Wally. Wally would troll people, do something
this
like that.
This is true. I would. Yeah, this is true. I would do that.
So you would go to Seneca Valley training camp or something? Just to watch.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
I didn't play for that team. It don't bother me.
What?
You speaking to the wrong dude. That don't bother me.
Shout out to Pearson.
Shout out to him.
You had no school pride, man. No school pride.
None at all.
Shoot. What's a better example? A&T? Who was Morgan's rival? Towson? I mean, that's a Coppin.
Coppin.
Would you go to Coppin's training camp?
No. Ask me would I go to Morgan's. No.
I'm sorry. I'm talking to the wrong person.
I have no school
spirit. They don't
even care.
You have no loyalty to nobody but family. That's it.
I got my loyalty to y'all.
Yeah, it's true. That's real talk.
You ain't going to training camp on the hottest day of the year, son. Wally sweated
dying,
off and 7 pounds out there, John.
Sweated a gallon.
He wore like some black skinny jeans. He tried to be fresh. and that's
what
happened.
Real talk. Yeah, I was. I was trying. Look, I knew I was going to be
video. He drank 5 bottles of water within an hour and a half.
This is true.
And he had a towel on his head. He went in the air conditioner a good 4 times.
Towel on my shoulder.
He like John Thompson Jr.
Yeah.
The bald head. Hey, it was real.
I was going to be on video, so I wanted to make sure.
I told you, try to get fresh.
Try to be dapper.
You should have wore some basketball shorts.
You see the shoes I got on? He was the only one I was going to put pants on.
My man Lake, who covers, like who does USA Today, was like, yo, go inside. You're going to kill yourself out here.
Let me ask you this question. How long did you stay outside with those pants on?
That was in and out. Air conditioning time.
Okay, and Pete, this is the last thing I'm going to say. I'm going to let us get back. In certain segments of the practice, you can't film.
Oh,
he got sent back because he had a camera. And he never showed back up. He was in the air conditioner.
Chilling.
So basically, you got escorted or you were told to leave.
Well, no, they warned you. Like, some people try and they'll say, hey, you can't do it. And I was like, I'm just putting my camera back and go right back to air conditioning.
Unlike the Wizards warned you with Tim Hardaway.
Wow. What we got going?
You walked right into that one.
That was dirty.
I ain't walking to that one.
You set me up.
Man,
that's
in the wall, man.
All right, man. But I apologize for getting y'all off track.
No, that's all good. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here with Will T.
It's
Ray.
Almost 8:18, Will.
But I showed up at 8:10, though.
Hey. You got the juice now, man. On the defensive side of the ball, safety DJ Swearinger has been a vocal leader for the Washington Redskins. Ray, he talked about that a little bit, and we'll talk about and actually has a clip about that. Ray was talking to him too, man. Ray is a star.
You were interviewing everybody.
Yeah, Ray's a star, man. We bought it.
Wally does the camera work, that's why. And he had a black outfit on. You should have been on camera.
I'm gonna play the clip right now.
All right, we're still here. Redskins training camp, all skins, everything, Urban Sports Scene, Fox Sports 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. DJ Swearinger, hottest practice of the year. I've been asking everybody that. How you feeling so far, man?
I'm feeling good. You know, I took a couple of days off, so I'm feeling a little better. I'm glad that we are getting it in, though.
So what are your expectations heading into this first preseason game?
Win, bro. Win. Just to get everybody out there flying to the ball defensively. I want 3 turnovers. If we can get 3 turnovers in the defense, you know, if we can get 3 turnovers, that'll be a positive thing for the defense. I just want to see guys flying around, hitting people, making that ball loose, man.
So how does it feel to get a fresh start? I know at the end of last season, you were on social media quite often, voicing your opinion, which is good. Now, fresh start, 0-0. What's your expectation? What is your personal goals and team goals going into the year?
Personal goals, man, I just want to be the best player I can be. You know, I do have a pick goals out there. I want to have 10 picks. You know, I'm reaching for the sky. And, you know, I want to get 10 picks, 5 force fumbles, and score 3 times if I can. But as a group, man, I want to, you know, I want to end the top 5. I want to lead the league in turnovers. And, you know, I want to be a stingy defense, man. Anytime, you know, they see the Redskins defense, you know, I want to put fear in people's heart, you know, regardless of whether it's our safeties, linebackers, corners, or D-line, man. I want to be the defense that when teams line up, you know we mean business. And, you know, they're definitely going to have to exploit us to beat us.
Appreciate the time.
Oh, good.
Yeah, man. You know, the leadership thing, man. Last year was, you know, the start of it. But you know, I embraced it last year. Felt comfortable with it. This year, you're just looking forward. I'm looking forward to building, and trying to find ways to better myself and to get responses out of players. You know, I'm more of an aggressive type guy. You know, a lot of guys don't respond to the aggressive part of me. You know, so you know, my challenge this year is, you know, trying to, you know, get something out of guys without being aggressive with it. You know what I'm saying? You know, because a lot of guys don't respond well when I'm aggressive. So I just got to try to be, you know, more on the downside. You know, when I get my point across, man. You know, so that's the challenge for me this year.
We back.
I like the personal goal comment. I really do. 10 picks, 5 forced fumbles, 3 touchdowns. Nobody's that detailed. Typically, players say, I want to be the best player I can be. Some guys, like the John Walls and the Bobby Robert Griffin III of the world, say, I want to be the MVP. Robert Griffin III, sorry.
Okay.
It's okay.
Some guys reference, I want to be NFL MVP.
Bobby's pretty cool. Bobby Roberts.
Bobby Griffin.
Cool.
You like Bobby?
Bobby Robbie, all the same. He's not RG3 anymore for right now, so.
Anyway, that stood out to me. And also, you know, him just acknowledging that his approach and his leadership style didn't sit well with everybody. You know, you will interview some guys and they'll give you a vague answer or they'll deflect away from the fact that, hey, maybe some guys I rubbed the wrong way. He didn't.
Lack of a better term, he kept it 100. He said what he meant. And, you know, there's some guys that he rubbed the wrong way, and some people didn't appreciate what he said via social media or out there and about to the team, even coaching staff. You heard him say at times that we ain't practicing right last season to the coaching staff. So he just, to me, DJ Swearinger is a guy that, you know, he says what he says what he feels and he means it. It's not that PC crap. He's not trying to get attention. He's saying what he feels.
He was pissed about Kendall Fuller.
Yeah,
leaving.
He was.
He was really upset about it. And I guess most guys was too. When we had Breeland on the show, he said we formed a brotherhood. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the tightest unit on the team. I've mentioned that, you know, time and time again in the past.
Tim, I think you can get 5 picks. I think 10's a lot, but hey, who knows? You never know.
Ed Reed, that's that Ed Reed.
Yeah.
10 picks. Yes, indeed. I'm looking forward to seeing what this group does. I know there's gonna be injuries though. Can they stay healthy the whole year? You're gonna get dinged up.
Well, hopefully don't get hurt. Thursday night. Thursday, the Redskins have their first game against New England Patriots. We'll discuss after the break. Listen to Urban Sports saying
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I'm a young money millionaire, tougher than Nigerian hair. My criteria compared to your career just isn't fair. I'm a venereal disease, like a menstrual bleed through the pencil and leak on the sheet of the tablet in my mind. Cause I don't write, cause I ain't got time. Cut my second minutes, hours go to the almighty dollar in the hall. Mighty power of that chopper, sister, brother, son, daughter, father, motherfucker, copper. Got the Maserati dancing on the bridge. Poppin' tell the coppers, ha 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 ha, you can't catch them, you can't stop them. I go by them goon rules. If you can't beat them, then you pop them. You can't man them, then you mop them. You can't stand them, then you drop them. You pop them, cause we pop them like over red and vodka. Motherfucker, I'm ill. Yeah. A million here, a million there. Sicilian with
listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here with Will T and Ray. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. So the Redskins Thursday night, 7:30. They're playing New England Patriots at Gillette Stadium. First question: do you think Jay Gruden will play Alex Smith more than the series?
He better. He should.
He may not even play, to be honest with you.
See, this is the thing I don't understand about preseason games, right? Coaches and GMs complain about the amount of rest that the players get after the season ends.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of accessibility to players during the offseason. If you complain about these things, the best way to get guys in football condition, get them in football shape, get them thinking and playing at game speed is to play them
mm-hmm.
during the preseason. Players can get injured anytime during the season. They get injured anytime during practice. So I think players should go out there and play more than one series.
I'm torn here because I think I agree with what you're saying. While at the same time, you know the Cardinals are going to be watching. And I don't want to show too much. Mm-hmm. I want there to be, you know, some level of the unexpected heading into the first game of the regular season where you've never seen Alex Smith in a Redskin uniform before, so you don't necessarily know how to fully prepare for him. So I'm torn, but if I had to lean one way, I would say play him more than one series, let him get some reps in, new receiving core, new running backs that he's working with, a good rookie mm-hmm. and guys. So, yeah, I think you should play all your starters, maybe at least two series.
Well, I would say this. You can go out and you can develop a vanilla game plan because no one expected when, mm-hmm. as the guy who we were talking about, Robert Griffin III.
They kept him in the wraps for a while.
When they kept him, you know, with the whole pistol offense and the read option. No one saw any of that during the preseason. Mm-hmm. No one knew how to, you know, then when it happened against New Orleans that first game, it was like, what is this? So there's a way that you can go out there and you can develop a very vanilla game plan and put Alex and, you know, not do anything exotic or anything new.
Here's what I think is dangerous about that from a coaching standpoint in this particular situation. While we were there yesterday, there was a consensus that Jay Gruden is on a hot seat and he knows it.
Yeah.
And while he's more confident that this is a better group that he has, he's going to pull out all the stops. They're practicing harder. Mm-hmm. They're doing more. I'm thinking that Jay is not going to want it. While he knows how to deal with negative publicity, obviously, negative mm-hmm. press, considering the Robert Griffin situation and others, I think he wants to have a positive environment around his team. And the last thing you would want is to go out there and they perform horribly with a vanilla game plan. And then the media and the owner start to get anxious.
Didn't he just get
an extension
like a year ago?
Jay Gruden? but it's not like a.
It was like a 2 year. It was like a 2 year extension.
Yeah, but
right?
This year is like. They're not committed to him. In my opinion, I think, and I kind of agree with Will. I think Alex Smith should play more than one series. I think maybe two series. At the end of the day, this team we talked about this last week, Ray. I mean, Will, that this team has started off slow. They lost the first game of the season every year under Jay Gruden. So I think you want to build that rhythm, that build some chemistry and have Alex Smith play as much as he can. And plus, he's not an injury prone quarterback compared to like other players, like say a Jordan Reed. If it was Jordan Reed, I would say, yeah, I'm not playing Jordan Reed the first game. He's too valuable. And he's a guy that to me can get hurt on any fluke thing. I'd rather him get hurt in the regular season. I would play a Josh Dotson because he's younger. I think he needs to play regardless of how, you know, injury prone he is. People like Trent Williams, I'm not playing. And I probably won't even play a guy like Morgan Moses, but I would play like Alex Smith. I think I would be on the side of playing Alex Smith.
Do you risk injury though if you're not playing guys like Morgan Moses?
It goes back to that. You're right. I know I was playing losing your tackle and your tackles, right? But at the end of the day, like it is vanilla. You can throw some quick passes or whatnot. And also, like, it's football. You can get hurt doing anything. Like that, I'm on that side. You can get hurt doing anything. So why not? He's your quarterback.
I agree.
He needs a rhythm. I mean, I know he's a vet, but still, at the same time, you want him to be sharp going into game one against Arizona.
I don't disagree, but can you imagine the backlash if Alex Smith gets hit because they're not playing their best guys on the offense?
No, I feel you.
No, I agree. I agree with what you said, Ray. If you're not going to play as long as Alex Smith is in, you have to put.
Well, Trent's not going to play. That's already a guarantee.
Well, if Trent's not going to play, well, I still think you need to put Alex Smith out there.
You still drafted a kid, Christian, from Louisville, who was a high draft pick.
Yeah, third round pick.
Why? Just try him out there. I'm not saying, like, set Alex Smith up. The Patriots are probably going to play their second tier guys anyway in terms of defense. That's the word. But so it won't be as bad. It's not like he's going against like a Dominique. I mean, going against Sue or somebody like that off the bat.
Would it help if this Washington team got back to the old days? We talked about the Carlisle days yesterday.
Yeah.
And scrimmage the Steelers or another, you know, NFL team.
Like a scrimmage, during, not a
right,
preseason.
Right. During game. Prior to the preseason, during like the training camp period of time. Wouldn't that be cool? Because I think that gives, you know, your rookies a chance to see like NFL speed.
Yeah, they did that with what?
They
that
did team. It with the Patriots.
And the Texans years ago. The Texans yeah. too, right?
I believe so.
That's when the hard knocks thing when they got in a fight with D-Hall got in a fight yeah. or whatever, right?
The Redskins did that?
Yeah, uh-huh.
When?
It was not a couple years ago.
Oh, right, a couple. That's a couple what I'm years saying. Ago. They haven't done it in
like two years ago.
We'll have to look it up. I don't know if it was 2 years ago. I don't know.
But I know Hopkins was talking trash. Hopkins was talking trash to D-Hall.
Okay, I can remember that.
I'm trying to think. I don't know what year, to be honest with you. I can't.
Because the Texans, the year that the Falcons did Hard Knocks, the Texans, the Texans scrimmaged the Falcons, and they were getting ready to fight. Harry Douglas, yeah. So that's what I'm mixing up right now. So
speaking of Hard Knocks, if this team doesn't make the playoffs and they keep their coach, they'll be a candidate for Hard Knocks next offseason. That's something
I know. I know they are the candidates, regardless. They haven't been on yet, right? They have every team has to be on, right?
Yeah. Be on Hard Knocks. Can you imagine?
Oh, that'd be awesome, bro.
Yeah, because that's a criteria. Like, if you don't change,
you're going to dab me on that one, bro.
I think if you haven't made the playoffs in like two of the last 3 years and you have the same coach, then you're eligible to be picked for Hard Knocks.
Yeah. Even when you're black,
or you volunteer.
You know that again, man. You know,
not wearing shorts this time, bro.
Sex with chocolate.
I don't like you for that. Sound good though, man. No, it didn't actually.
I was talking about the stadium girls, not coming to America.
Hey, real quick, what would interest you in this game for the Washington Redskins? I mean, for the Skins, and what would you want to see?
Run game.
Run game.
So that's Geis, one thing.
So yep.
I want to see Geis. I want to see Fat Rob. Well, he's not fat anymore.
Fit Rob.
That's what I was
Rob
told.
Kelly. That's a great call. And then also. Thompson. I want to see those
three. He's
not
going to play, though. Thompson's okay, not going to play.
I want to see Geis. I want to see Geis run behind that offensive line.
What about you, Ray?
Special teams. Want to see how the Redskins return punts. They were trying different guys back there yesterday. Sure. When has the last time since what's the short dude's name?
Randall?
No.
Oh, Banks.
Brandon Banks.
Who have they had like a consistent returner since him?
It was Crowder.
Crowder, and he's a consistent returner. You know this is
Crowder's all right. His first rookie year.
So special teams, you always need to work on those little things in preseason, I believe, to get better at. And then, the obvious is Alex Smith. You said Jordan Reed's not playing. I would like to see how he would look once he gets back on the field. But, yeah, special teams, work on those little things. And then all the rookies, and not just guys. What are you going to have at linebacker as far as depth goes?
No.
Zach Brown.
Mason Foster
both look decent, but again,
it's preseason.
I don't want to take too much from it. I was kind of shocked. Mason Foster looked kind of quick out there, you know. I know you don't like his sideline speed, but
Zach Brown is an amazing athlete.
I know you like Zach Brown.
But I will say this: if it's any team that you want to face in a preseason game while you're working on elements of your game, this is definitely the Patriots.
They're well coached. They're well coached team.
Everybody loves the Patriots.
Very well coached, man. All right. Terrell Owens was inducted over the weekend, but decided to do his own thing. We'll discuss that over the break. You listen to Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, it's born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, what shouts you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that puts the kids to bed, this that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my
my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine in his lightning bird. You see fireworks and carbon tire skirt the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use it, use it, use it. Your arm will probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side of jellyfish I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Life been through, probably offend you, this is Paula's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, furnace, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead, redemption, scallops, father, dead.
My character has been heavily challenged and questioned for many years, but today I stand here to put truth to power, or power to truth. So I want to address the elephant in the room. Many of you may be wondering why we're here instead of Canton. There's been a lot of speculation and false reports as to why I chose not to be there. I would like to set the record straight. It's not because how many times it took for me to be voted into the hall. It's about the mere fact that the sports writers are not in alignment with the mission and core values of the Hall of Fame. These writers disregarded the system, the criteria, and bylaws in which guys are inducted, and ultimately the true meaning of the Hall of Fame and what it represents. I wanted to take a stand so the next guy coming after me will not have to go through what I and others have gone through. Whether it's 3 years or 45 years, you should get what you rightfully earned.
All right. That was Terrell Owens. He was inducted to the Hall of Fame over the weekend. He decided to do it, deliver his speech at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. Did you have a problem with T.O. Ditching the Hall of Fame to do it at his university, his alma mater?
I didn't have a problem with him doing it. It's his prerogative. He's earned the right. You know, he had a, truth be told, in my opinion, he had a first ballot Hall of Fame career.
I think you're right.
But yeah. I do think, when he isolates himself, as we discussed off air, when he isolates himself and doesn't go to Canton and delivers the message that he wanted to deliver, then it looks like a me moment. It looks like I'm being selfish, looking to bring all the attention to me, where, quite frankly, if I were him, I would have went to Canton and I would have ished on everybody.
Yeah.
And I would have ished on the process.
And that's my issue. My issue with the Terrell Owens situation, if that's what it was about, yeah, you just go to Canton and do it there. And there are many players before him, because the system is flawed. There are many players before him that had to deal with the same situation. These writers have always been biased. They've always picked their favorites. We all know this. I'll go local. Art Monk was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am. Art Monk should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. At the time he left, he led the NFL in receptions, period. And took him how long to get into the Hall of Fame?
Joe Jacoby still isn't in the Hall of Fame.
And by the time he left, he was arguably one of the best linemen in his era. Still isn't in the Hall of Fame. So, like, this happens. Like, we see it. But I would have respected T.O. a little bit more if he just went to Canton and just blasted the system. Because, to me, going to his alma mater and doing it there, it's like, okay, you still want that situation where, like, look at me, I'm doing it here, I'm by myself, look at me, I got this whole ceremony, the jacket, everything.
Well, I just thought about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We say if he goes to Canton and he blasts the system,
yeah,
then it becomes a look at me moment too, also, you know what
I get. I mean, I would respect him more. I know what you're saying, you're right, because to be honest with you, it's Terrell Owens.
Damned if you don't.
Because yeah,
you still going to have the critics that say, you made this moment about you, even though it is about him.
But it's supposed to be about him. That's your moment, though, right? That is your moment. This is the one time. Going into the Hall of Fame is the one time, to be honest with you, where you can appreciate your own work.
But not to get sidetracked, but it's amazing what a post-playing career and the media can do for your image. Because the guy he was inducted with, Randy Moss.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Randy supporter.
Yeah. Randy Moss, when he left the NFL, when he retired from the NFL, I think it's fair to say his image was tarnished, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You take into consideration his, I play when I want to play. Right. Then the incidents in Green Bay where after he scored the touchdown and pretended to pull his pants down.
Yeah, situation with the meter maid too.
Yeah, then the situation with the meter maid. So there are a couple of instances with him where he brought negativity in your locker room. Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say? Yeah, for me to say?
It's very fair.
Well, T.O., no matter how you felt about T.O., when he got inside those white lines, mm-hmm. he played ball.
Yeah.
Now, he may have said, I want the ball more. He may have called people out in the public, in the press, but you never question his heart or his effort.
Man, Ray Lewis.
On the field.
So, you guys, Ray Lewis, you questioned it during the Super Bowl. What happened? People still think he did it.
Yeah.
You never heard Terrell Owens' name like that outside of football. Never.
Yeah, so I like Ray.
I like Ray more. I like Terrell Owens, to be honest, which is a football player. But I'm just saying, like, we're looking at this character thing, this character flaw thing. It makes no sense.
I won't say it doesn't make sense. I just think that for whatever reason, Terrell Owens this decision continues to fuel critics. Mm-hmm. For example, do you hear anybody talk about Ben Roethlisberger going to college bars and forcing himself on chicks? Because he made changes. And Terrell Owens, I think to some degree, whether he'll say it or not, there's something there as far as some type of mental illness. I don't think it's a severe one.
Okay.
But there's something there, kind of like a Kanye type thing maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he enjoys some of it's press.
Definitely enjoys it.
Like he
saw his reality TV show.
Like for example, never heard LeBron James mention Skip Bayless by name. You never hear him say it because he's like, who is this to me? He doesn't say anything about him. But Terrell Owens was going back and forth on social media with Skip Bayless as if he hates him. But if you watch when Skip Bayless was on First Take, he joined him and they kind of had fun with the debate. Terrell Owens is about himself and selling himself no matter how it looks. Bottom line.
I don't argue that either. I think he likes
to brand. There's something wrong, himself. and he's admitted it. He has issues from his upbringing.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Yeah, he's admitted that,
and it's affected him emotionally, and that's resulted in some problems that he really needs to get help with. Bottom line.
No, he definitely admitted. What that was on Countdown back in the day.
No, I mean he had
the course of time.
When they did that story, they did a story on him.
What's his name? What's the lady's name? Alanya Van Zant. He did the Fix My Life with her.
Oh yeah.
Then he also had
while he was stuck.
I was like,
then he had the incident. Where he took like some pills or something.
Yeah,
like, he has such million reasons why, and then he fired that chick afterwards. Mm-hmm.
That's right. He fired her. Right.
I'm telling you, something is up with that dude.
On Facebook,
then there's nothing wrong. We all got issues.
Yeah. On Facebook, Chris Bird said, "At first, I did until I heard his speech. I understand his project. I mean, his protest against sports media."
When I get inducted into the Media Hall of Fame, I might do something like that, you know, go to Dubai and have my press conference.
That's what's up, man, because you guys are definitely headed there, man. You guys are media.
On that note, should Dusty Baker still be the Nationals manager? Will's watching the game right now. We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces. Between us.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here with Will T and Ray. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Make sure you search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. In 2 years as manager of the Washington Nationals, Dusty Baker went 192-132 with two NL titles, only to be let go and replaced by Davey Martinez. Is it too early to say that the Nationals made the wrong decision by letting Dusty go?
That's a tough one. Here's why. Baseball has moved into a new age, right? Analytics age. We want managers. We want front office that use analytics. We want our players to use analytics. So Dusty Baker was a guy who was determined to just use his gut, go with his feeling. You know, Dave Martinez is a guy who uses analytics. And the guy who he was under, Joe Maddon, transformed two franchises. The Tampa Bay Rays, and he brought the he won a World Series with the Chicago Cubs. So I, even though that there's been struggles by the Nats, I still think it's too early to say so. But if I were to give you an answer, if you put a gun in my head and said, give me a definitive answer right now, I would say they made a mistake just because of just seeing how the team is playing thus far.
Yeah, this is the thing. You know, Dusty has experience. And Dusty has, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Dusty hasn't won a World Series, but Dusty has been to the World Series. Dusty has every team he's had, he's taken over, has been to the postseason. He has taken over that team and he's improved that team. If you look at the Giants, the Reds, the Cubs, and the Nationals. So Dusty has always been a guy that has improved the ball club. And then you're going to a rookie manager in Davey Martinez, and you're hoping that he's, you know, you're hoping that he's the next Joe Maddon. And that's always a problem when everybody thinks the underling is going to be the next, you know, be a representation of that guy that they managed that they were under like a Joe Maddon. That's always a big mistake because you think he's Joe Maddon. And the thing about Joe Maddon, sure, he's down with analytics. But at the same time, Joe Maddon has managerial instincts. Like, if he has a feel, he goes with that feel. It's not just analytics with Joe Maddon. It's also a feel. And I don't know that Davey Martinez has that aspect as a manager master down pack right now.
I still think it's too early to say. I'm not happy with it. Although I didn't want Dusty in the first place.
Who did you want in the first place?
Well, not Dusty. I was looking at a number of different managers. I was even looking at the White Sox former manager who was kind of crazy.
Ozzie
Guillen. There we go. Because you want to win. That's the goal. Mm-hmm. You want to win a championship. Mm-hmm. To me, it's kind of like Marty Schottenheimer. You know he can get you to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid can get you to the playoffs. Yeah, can they get you over the top? Matt Williams got the Nationals to the playoffs, but they wanted somebody who was going to get them to a championship, and they didn't feel like Dusty was that guy. And you're a gambler.
Yeah.
Scared money don't make money.
Oh, no, I get you.
If you're going to win a championship, you got to gamble a bit. Now, you can look across at the hockey team and say, hey, they rolled it out, you know, and stuck with their core guys. But where does the onus of the players come in at? You know,
go ahead.
To me, this group, if you think that Dusty carried you to the playoffs, mm-hmm. he carried you to two NL titles. Okay, all you need is somebody to get you over that hump. So the players got to perform too, man.
I'll say this. This is a point that I made last year, and I'll say it again. Bryce Harper last year was headed towards arbitration, right? He signed a deal and avoided arbitration, the biggest deal and single season deal to avoid arbitration. Joe, his agent, Scott Boras, is, some will say, the right hand, has a seat at the table with the learners.
Hey, sure does.
I'll say this. If Bryce Harper, I'm pretty sure it was presented to him, the option of how do you feel about Dusty staying around, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure. Can we get a consensus on that? I think it's fair for us to say that, right?
I think you want to keep Bryce Harper. I think that discussion was had.
So I think if you see the relationship that he has with Dave Martinez, which he's gone on record and said
Dave
Martinez is this the best manager he's had, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Subliminal shot.
Yeah, that is a subliminal shot. Mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say that that move may have been made with the intention of trying to keep to appease Bryce Harper in the long term.
It could be. My question is now that you mentioned that, do the learners even care about winning? Or they care more about making money with spending and not spending a whole lot?
It's they're the owners. Answer is about winning money. You can be making money.
If you can keep Bryce Harper, then you know that you're going to make money.
Yeah.
And you're going to make a lot of it.
He's a money maker.
So you're not like Dan Snyder who spend to win at all costs. Mm. Mm-hmm. It's like almost the opposite of it. It's like you're not going to spend. But you're going to invest into a couple stars and you're going to make money whether you win.
And you got Soto.
I'm not worried. But if you do, that's a bonus.
You make money off Soto. I mean, you got it in our situation.
You have enough star power.
Yeah, you do. You definitely do.
Strasburg, Soto,
And Bryce, Scherzer. And Scherzer.
There you go.
That's money.
And you think about it, you still have two mid-tier stars, up-and-coming stars, in Turner and Rendon.
Yeah, Turner. Yes, right.
Turner and Rendon.
And even if they've decided to call him up. And
Victor Robles.
Yeah, Victor Robles. They have star power.
I kind of miss Wilson.
Yeah, I thought they would try to make a play for Wilson in trade deadline. Wilson Raymond. I thought so. I thought they would. I thought they would make a trade for him.
Well, I mean, he's only signed for a year, so you could potentially bring him back next year.
You could. Because I think Weeders is done.
Because he was more consistent.
Yeah.
On Twitter, our man George was like, I thought in terms of a Baker. He said, I thought it was harsh to let Baker go. I would have given him hit this season. Right now, I'm leaning towards not believing in Martinez because the injury run this year is no worse than last year's.
Like I said, that's a fair point by George, mm-hmm. a very fair point. But I will say this. You have to give Davey Martinez a little time to adjust to being a manager, a big league manager, mm-hmm. for one. And, you know, almost, 100 games in. So you're past that point.
Yeah. On Twitter, again, Adam Mir said, Adam Mir 43 said, we're in third place in a weak ass division. Yes, firing Dusty was a huge mistake. Not only did we lose Dusty, we let hitting coach, is it Shue? Is that the hitting coach from last year?
I forgot who the hitting coach.
Like you said, Shue? I can't say I'm gonna say Shue. Shue go and Maddox, the pitching coach. Losing both those guys was a massive mistake. And don't blame the injuries. We're always injured.
I will say losing Maddox as your pitching coach, that was huge in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think losing Maddox was big. I think it was big for Strauss, somebody like Strasburg, who seems real temperamental.
Forget Strauss, Gio.
Yeah, definitely Gio. Definitely Gio. Nice. And Roark, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Roark's starting to turn around, though.
He's starting to, but he's still terrible.
All right. Well, it's time for a break. Kovalev got we're going to talk about Kovalev being knocked out by Alvarez. I'm surprised you didn't see the fight. Surprised, man.
I went to sleep, man.
You're listening to Urban Sports, say.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback. For a solo. But tonight, don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What's up with the fear? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bank go boom, explosion.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here with Will T and Ray. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. Lightweight, heavyweight champ. Well, he wasn't the champ, right?
Kovalev, yeah.
Was he the champ?
Yeah.
All right, light heavyweight champ, Sergio Sergey.
He wasn't.
I know Sergio.
He wasn't the lineal champion.
Okay.
Adonis Stevenson is still a lineal light heavyweight champion. All right.
Sergey Kovalev was TKO'd in the seventh round by Elider Alvarez. Your thoughts on Ray? Your thoughts on the fight?
Well, quickly, first. Will, what's the promoter's name again? Just remind me.
Kathy Duva.
Right, who referenced that Kovalev, because of his conditioning, always gasses out and struggles after the sixth round. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, he just made a trainer change because his previous trainer,
David Jackson,
yeah. Right, his previous trainer was saying that this dude's running 12 miles to fight Andre Ward. Like,
yeah,
are you preparing
that.
For a marathon? Like, what's wrong with you? And yeah. That pissed him off. Like, mm-hmm. Hold up, don't question me. But they did say his training regimen needed tweaking because he got gassed out because he didn't prepare the right way for a fight. Now you make this trainer change and then you get knocked out again in the seventh. Andre Ward stopped you in the seventh. Mm-hmm. But he did have a victory prior to
yeah,
this fight.
Yeah.
So it's not fair to say. And again, she referenced that too in the interview. Like, I know he won his previous fight, but still it seemed like he never is the same fighter after the sixth round. I just want to get your thoughts because he got caught, as Joe said.
He got caught.
And after that first knockdown, he wasn't the same fighter. So was it his conditioning or did he just get popped?
He got caught to me because I thought he had energy. Most of the fight, he pretty much controlled most of the fight. And then, you know, Alvarez caught him. And to me, watching that fight, I thought Alvarez had a couple opportunities to catch him. And if I thought I was looking at the fight, I was like, if he caught him there, the same thing could have happened. I mean, he caught him with a clean punch. It wasn't like a grazed punch that knocked him down. It was a clean punch that knocked him down, and you could tell that he was out of it. If he had an opportunity, if it was later in the round, maybe let's just say if it was 30 seconds in that round, he would have been okay. But unfortunately, it happened early enough where he couldn't get his wits together. He couldn't grab enough. And he didn't. To me, he should have grabbed. He should have tried to grab a little bit more. But you could tell he wanted to show his heart and still try to like fight through it. But at the end of the day, after that first knockdown, Alvarez saw blood and he did not stop and he caught him again. And then that's when it should have ended. He got lucky that something terrible didn't happen to Kovalev. I think he was still hospital. He went to the hospital. But it could have been much worse.
Well,
like,
see,
it should have been stopped after the second knockdown, to be honest with you.
I thought that he popped up quick, as I told you, after the first one. And I think he was ready. But, you know, you had a second look at it and said, nah, after the first one, he wasn't right. He didn't have his legs.
No.
So it should have been stopped sooner. And it sucks because he was dominating the fight. And
yeah.
It would have went the distance. See, the one thing that Alvarez pointed out was his power wasn't the same.
I kind of agree.
And that's going back to, is he the same fighter after a certain amount of rounds?
I don't think, to be honest with you, throughout the fight, I don't think his power was like that.
Alvarez said the first couple rounds, he felt it.
No, I'll say this. Up until a certain point, a lot of the knockouts that Kovalev had were prior to the sixth round,
mm-hmm.
right? Andre Ward made an astute observation during their first fight. He said that he went back and he watched some of some of Kovalev's previous fights, and he said after rounds 5 to 6, watch it, he starts to lose gas.
Mm-hmm.
You see the power, you see the deceleration on his punches, you see the lack of head movement, you see the lack of movement in the ring. And you see him start to breathe heavy and him starting to gas. So maybe, well, it's not maybe, Andre Ward was right in his observation.
Mm-hmm.
Andre Ward and Virgil Hunter were correct in their observation that Kovalev, after round 6 and 7, starts to lose gas. And Kovalev is, you know, and we were talking, you mentioned this, Ray, offline. David Jackson, his former trainer, said that Kovalev runs too many miles as if he's preparing for a marathon.
Yeah.
And, you know, he hates that criticism, right? Because he believes that's what gets him in the best condition to fight.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe he needs to tweak. Maybe they need to bring in a new trainer and tweak his training program, because there are still opportunities for him. Is he an elite level fighter at this point?
Next question.
No, I don't think he's at the point where he's an elite level fighter.
Okay.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Can you train to get caught? If you get caught, can you train to come back
wits,
from that?
To get your wits.
Like, for example, when we interviewed JoJo Diaz, he said some of them shots I hit Gary with would have knocked somebody else out. He said that's how I know he trained hard and his body was prepared.
I'll defer to Will about that.
I don't think you can train to get to take up. You can. Well, there's definitely ways that you in when you work in the gym that you can train to roll your shoulders, to keep your chin tucked, where it can lessen the blow, lessen the impact of the blow. But to take a clean punch, nah, there's no. You don't go into the gym and take a clean punch and say, okay, I'm gonna take this clean punch and then I'm gonna practice getting up.
The Winky Wright, put your hands down mentality. Deontay Wilder's last fight, was it Ortiz he fought?
Yeah,
Ortiz. Okay, now he got caught.
Yeah,
And he recovered from it. I guess it just varies from person to person. Yeah, I don't know.
Depends, you got it. You got that dog in you to just hold it.
Like, all right, I got to gather myself. Or
the Kobe
or it's all about your ring savvy. Yeah. Because after that, you need to clinch. You need to back up. Yeah. You know, you need to hold. You need to do whatever you need to to get out of the round so that you can have, again, it comes back to knowledge.
Yeah, it comes.
Gary Russell Jr. said knowledge is everything.
Yeah.
When it comes to boxing.
Yeah, look, this is the one example I always give people. Floyd Mayweather versus Shane Mosley. I think during the third fourth round when he caught him and Floyd held on with his right hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That's ring savvy. That's you being in the ring. That's you sparring, knowing that, okay, if this happens, this is how I'm going to react. So that's just you being a student of the game, you perfecting your craft, working on your craft at the highest level, and practicing for any and every contingency.
So does this fall, this knockout, whatever, hurt, say, the legacy of Andre Ward? Because this was good. This was a nice, you know.
The legacy of Andre
Ward. Like, it was a nice thing on the
resume. No. Absolutely not. Because up until that point, Sergey Kovalev was a guy who had a 90% knockout rate, was known as one of the hardest punchers time in the division.
Yeah.
What it does do is it takes away the potential for one of the most, I'm not going to say most sought after, but one of the longest running parallels between two champions, a potential matchup between Adonis Stevenson and Kovalev.
Okay.
Which, even though it's 5 years past his prime, if Kovalev had a won and you would announce it, I think there still would have been considerable interest. Not as much interest as it was 5 years ago.
The only reason why I asked that, because, you know, Joe Calzaghe was out saying, like, Andre Ward ain't that good. And he was referencing Kovalev. Like,
well, no,
this?
Everybody
kept using Kovalev as the guy.
Ask Bernard if Kovalev is a good fighter.
Yeah.
No, ask Bernard. And then also, you can't take away what Andre Ward did at 168.
Yeah.
When he won the Super Six.
And he had a long layoff.
I'm playing devil's advocate. You know, I think Andre Ward is one of the baddest dudes, period. But I'm just putting it out there.
Calzaghe, he's so opinionated.
Oh, yeah.
Always got something to say after every fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he feels like he hasn't gotten his
No, I mean he never feels. Yeah,
he's real bitter. Yeah, he's real bitter. Real talk. He's real.
I mean, look, he Joe Calzaghe feels that he was undefeated during his career, and then he felt like he beat two guys that are considered legends, Bernard Hopkins and Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah.
And he doesn't feel as if he got his proper due.
Yeah, he's a great boxer. No one's taking that away
from
him.
He got that T O M.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Ray. What were you going to say? I feel like I could.
I won't say anything.
I thought you were going to say something.
So, I mean, it's understandable for Joe Calzaghe to feel a little bitter when people come after him. So,
all right, well, it's time to wrap this show up. Good job, fellas.
Appreciate it, man.
Good job. All right. Just want to say good job.
Yeah, man. It was great having you as a guest host tonight, Ray. Thank you. Let's stop past more often.
All right, you're back on next week. You listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
I got here for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.